Return to Camp Blood, episode 68, the saga of Kane Hodder not playing Jason Voorhees in Freddy vs. Jason. This episode is brought to you by FridayThirteenthFranchise.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Voorhees, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing the wickedest stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And Nathan.
What's up, guys?
So, like, before we get into the show, I just want to say a few things. As I'm sure you're all aware, my presence has been kind of sporadic the past couple months. And I kind of wasn't sure if I was going to say anything about it on the show, but you know, here we are and shit. So like the main reason that I've been away from so many of the shows we've done recently is that I am currently going through a divorce. I'm not going to elaborate, but I did want to say to everyone that I'm doing okay. And I want to thank everyone who's reached out to me and checked up on me during this time. And I also want to give a huge thank you to, you know, you guys, actually. And I'm talking to Nathan and Eric here. Also Landon too. Nathan's pretty much taken over Facebook for me and doing the promotion over there, while Lando's been kind of writing a lot of the show notes and posting to Twitter for me. And, you know, actually a big thanks to Eric, who's kind of stepped it up as a main host on a lot of our episodes lately. So, you know, to all of our listeners and hosts alike, I appreciate it. So thanks, guys.
No problem. We got your back, brother.
Yep.
I know it's not much, but to show you all my appreciation, I'm going to give away the last autographed piece of my Friday 13th collection. It's a signed Kane Hodder picture from Jason X, pre-Uber Jason, which I suppose is fitting for tonight's episode. So the registration opens up today, 30 September 2016, and will close 7 October. And I will announce the winner on the 8th. I'll contact the winner via email. So 1 week from today, all you need to do is email me at chris@campbudpodcast.com with the subject line, "Fuck Jim Elliott," to register. As always, all our patrons are automatically entered. So if you do donate to us, you don't have to worry about doing shit. Anyway, so with that mushy stuff out of the way. So like after appearing as the man behind the mask 4 times, you know, Kane Hodder found himself on the outside looking in when it was announced that they were actually going to move forward with Freddy versus Jason. So for better or worse, Hodder was replaced by Ken Kurzinger for Versus. And that's the argument that we kind of are going to talk about tonight based on Jason Parker's post over at Friday13FranchiseFranchise.com from earlier this year titled "The Saga of Kane Hodder Not Playing Jason Voorhees and Freddy versus Jason." And I'll put a link in the show notes to that article at CampBloodPodcast.com/68. And as always, we're going to sort of go through the post commenting as we go. So Jason says, although it's been well over 10 years since Freddy vs. Jason was released in the theaters, many of our fans abroad still wonder if the film would have been better if Kane Hodder had been allowed to play Jason Voorhees. Of course, there was a big controversy over the decision not to cast Kane when it was revealed he would not be returning. So, yeah, he's saying that the you know, that was back when the internet was still relatively small and there was still a lot of miscommunication and misinformation spreading through the chat rooms and message forums about what really happened. Kane was pretty vocal about it in magazine interviews, and still right now he's still pretty vocal about it. He gets fucking, and this is not Jason writing here, He gets the runaround, like, from the studio, from Sean Cunningham, from the director. So let's, and a lot of this stuff comes from Crystal Lake memories. So if you have that, you probably know what, you know, some of what we're going to talk about here. So Sean Cunningham from Crystal Lake Memories, casting the role of Jason was another matter. It was New Line's decision to hire a new actor for the role. It was not a consensus. A lot of people, including me, thought they should have stayed with Kane Hodder, but the studio wanted to try something different to make it fresh. To me, it was done for no good reason, but at some point, the people that write the checks get the cut, if you know what I mean. Having said that, I think Ken did a terrific job. I like Ken and I like Kane still, and this is nothing against Ken. I feel it was a mistake to not go with Kane. Of all the people who had anything to do with Ray versus Jason, Kane was the one that I think was not treated as well as he should have been, which I wholeheartedly agree with. Like, say what you will about Kane Hodder, about his portrayal of Jason through the previous four films, but I just feel like this, and I say this all the time, Freddy versus Jason would have been the perfect end cap to Kane's time as Jason. You know, he was obviously a fan favorite, having, you know, kept coming back four times when no other actor would ever play him again. So it was clear that he was passionate about the role. I mean, yeah, he was cast in some of the shittiest written ones out of the whole series, but I still think, for me, that it was a total mistake. And I don't think Ken did a good job, even though Freddy vs. Jason is probably my favorite movie in the whole series. I think Ken did a horrible job. And that wasn't necessarily his fault. It was the way he was directed.
Well, I mean, I agree totally. I mean, it's at the time during the 80s when, you know, every year they were putting out another movie. And I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street had lined up with Friday the 13th. You know, and I think it would have been a nice fare thee well for both Robert Englund, who hasn't played Freddy since, and Kane as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, unfortunately for Kane, everybody always says, you know, that when they talk about his portrayal of Jason, and, you know, there's not as many fans, of course, you know, Jason Goes to Hell gets a lot of hate, Jason X gets its hate, Part 8, you know, so on and so forth. So, with that being said, I mean, do I think it was the right thing to include him in Freddy versus Jason just because he played Jason four times? And I'm going to have to say that no, not necessarily. I mean, it really boils down to the people making the decisions and what do they want their Jason to be, you know? So from the evidence that's out there, you know, the documentation from the interviews and Crystal Lake Memories, you know, the book, some of the other interviews that you see, I mean, people seem to say that Kane just didn't fit the profile of what they wanted. He was too bulky. You know, he wasn't tall enough, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, obviously, you know, Kane wouldn't fit the profile. So I would have to agree that he probably wasn't the right choice simply for those matters.
Yeah, but I think those are bullshit fucking reasons. Like, he wasn't tall enough. Dude, come the fuck on. I'm looking at a picture of Ken right now, and he's got 1-inch goddamn heels. Like, our souls. Huh? I mean, what the fuck? And like, it's just silly.
And I think that too, because we all know that you can make someone seem 10 foot tall if you want to on screen, you know, movie magic. So I agree that I think those are some bullshit things. You know, they talk about Kane not having the right looking eyes that they wanted. Well, you know, that's bullshit too. You know, I mean, it's the movie magic. You can do whatever you want. So I don't buy those reasons, but I can kind of understand what they were getting at in a certain way. I mean, the size, definitely, he is a lot bulkier than what Ken was. So if they didn't want somebody that bulky, then I can understand that, but I don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah. And so I'm going to sort of read what Kane had to say about it. Way back in March of 2002, I got one of the first Freddy versus Jason scripts once it had been given the green light. And I thought, we're looking good here now. If they are giving me the script, obviously they want me to play the character. And this came from New Line directly. I even had a meeting with an executive there, as well as a great talk with Ronnie Yu. At least I thought it went very well. Maybe that was just a meeting to satisfy whomever. Then I was made an offer. One of the producers of the film called and said, we want you to do it, but we don't have much money, and this is what we can offer. And he gave me a number. My only question was, does that include residuals? Was this a buyout situation? The answer was, I'm not sure. Let me check on that. They tried to tell me they wanted someone with more expressive eyes and all this stuff. Let me keep reading, because a lot of what Kane just says, The next couple paragraphs touch on some of that stuff. This is Matthew Berry, casting director. Kane came in and said, "This means a lot to me. If I have a lot of fans, don't take this away from me. But in the end, you always have to do what's best for the film. And Ronnie thought recasting Jason would be the right thing to do. And to be honest, so did I. Kane was physically too big. He didn't fit the image that Ronnie was going for. Ronnie wanted to focus on Jason's eyes, and he felt Kane was a little too cartoony in the last few films. It was about movement, too, at least compared to the other films where Jason just kind of walks around like Frankenstein. There's a lot more to him in this one," which fucking did not. I just want to ask Matthew Berry a fucking question. Did he not ever see Freddy versus Jason when it was done?
No, because, fucking doubt.
Because Jason X more like Frankenstein in this movie as he did from way back in part six. Like this Jason was pretty much a copy of the fucking part six Jason in terms of how he moved.
No, the part six moved with more purpose and very militarized. No, I don't see that, but he moved very much like Frankenstein. And like you said, with what, inch and a half lifts on his shoes. I mean,
well, I was just kind of going off the idea that the director for part six, you know, had basically said that he wanted to turn Jason into a universal monster in part six. So, but I still thought that Jason from part six was more, you know, was more zombie, and I guess in his movements than some of the other films that Kane did.
Well, yeah, I agree with that aspect. I mean, it was almost like CJ Graham's performance of Jason was more abbreviated military facing movements as opposed to direct. I guess they're both all direct.
Well, it's been said a couple times when people refer to part six that it's more robotic type movements. And, you know, there's been talk about, you know, prior military training from CJ that, you know, comes into play with that. And, you know, there's always been discussions on that, and I won't disagree with those. But when it comes down to if you want a Frankenstein Jason, that's exactly what you got in Versus. I mean, right from the second that you know, the very first time that you see Jason, you know, walking in Freddy versus Jason, it's like Frankenstein. So if that's what they were shooting for, they definitely nailed it.
No, that's not what they were shooting for. Like the casting director says specifically that they compared Kane's Jason to Frankenstein, which it's so fucking stupid. Look at that scene where Jason's walking through the cornfield in Versus. Like he's fucking a ball of fire and just meandering around in the fucking cornfield. It's the exact opposite of why they said they didn't go with Kane. Like the reasons they said they didn't go with Kane were exactly what you saw in the fucking film.
Oh, right.
The way I would interpret that is them, you know, with his comments about Frankenstein is that they didn't want a Frankenstein, but that's ultimately what they got. So somebody was shooting for a Frankenstein-ish version because he says, at least, like I said, through my interpretation, that they didn't want the Frankenstein, but that's ultimately what they did. So
yeah. That's all I was trying to say. They said they didn't want Frankenstein, which is why they didn't get Kane. And yet that's exactly what you see in the movie.
Yeah. Because ultimately we all know that after they did some shoots, you know, just like when Dan Bradley in part six, they didn't like the way that he ended up. So they obviously recasted the role and got CJ. So right when they started shooting, if they didn't like the way things were working out with the movements, then they would have just got somebody else. So there was purpose behind that, or they would have stopped it and they would have changed it.
Yeah, I find that reasoning so bullshit. And the eyes thing, like the only time you really get up close and personal with Jason's eyes in this movie are as part of the opening scene where Jason's coming back to life. That's really the only time where his eyes even come into play, and that's only because they did a close-up of his face.
Well, I kind of got to disagree with that because I'm thinking of a lot of scenes where you really do see the eyes up close. I can think of quite a few. And so, I mean, I can understand what they mean by the eyes thing, but once again, I mean, with all that makeup.
One is a prosthetic.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you know, the cosplayers out there who might be listening to us, they know, you know, with all that makeup that you apply and when they darken around the eyes and stuff like that. I mean, I see pictures all the time and your eyes look nothing like, you know, like what they normally would. Obviously, you know, the color of your eyes is there, but outside of that, you can alter it up big time. And they could have did that with Kane.
But I don't even see where they come off saying that, though, because to me, like, again, love Kane or hate Kane's performance, you still have to, like, agree that he was one of the more expressive Jasons. Like we talked about in Jason Goes to Hell, that the opening scene there where they're, you know, shooting them all to shit and then the RPG gets launched, like just the expression with his one fucking eye, you could tell that Jason had an oh shit look on his face while he was looking at that thing coming towards him. Like, so like, I feel like all these reasons were just bullshit. I think Kane has said this, I don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure that he said he would have taken less money just to do this film, if that's really what the issue was.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, with all these films, and they've made so much money over the years, and then every time a new one comes out, they always talk about, you know, they're on a low budget, or budget restrictions this, budget restrictions that. Exactly. But the movies make so much money, it's like, when does the budget get to not be an excuse anymore? Because
but if you look at how good Freddy versus Jason looks, I find it really hard to believe their budget was that fucking small.
Exactly.
That's the fucking truth.
And with everything that I've seen about this matter, and I've heard Kane talk about it personally, and you know, all the magazine articles, interviews, etc., I still think that bottom line, it just probably came down to money, because that seems to be the biggest issue with everything, you know.
And you know, that's fine, but I wish they would have come right out and said it. But instead, what they did was everybody you go to, they were pointing fingers at someone else. Like Ronnie, you said, and here's the next section. I had no problem with Kane. He did fantastic work, but the studio thought it was a good idea to change. They were thinking this, that this is a whole new franchise and another new actor to play Jason could give the movie a little different flavor, including updating his costume and look. Ultimately, it was not my call. It was really New Line's. Although I agreed it was a good idea because we could inject new ideas into Freddy versus Jason. Now come back to what Sean Cunningham says. And Sean Cunningham says it was Ronnie Yu's decision.
Right.
And so but that's what you get every time Kane comes up, when you're talking about Versus, whoever you talk to, they always fucking point the finger to someone else.
Oh yeah, they do.
Every fucking one of them does that.
Nobody owns it. Nobody does.
Nobody will just own up and say, "Yeah, we thought Kane might cost too much."
Yeah, and I don't think they're ever going to own up to it, because we all know that they're going to get a backlashing from hell from the fans that did want Kane to be Jason. I mean, it didn't bother me that Kane wasn't Jason. I could have cared less on that matter, but for his fans and people out there, you know, whoever is going to actually make an admission that, hey, I'm the one that is the reason that, you know, Kane was not Jason, you know, they're just going to get a serious backlashing.
Yeah. Oh, well, horrible. In that case, they should have, you know, they should have really upped their game with how Jason was portrayed, because if we would have got a better performance out of Ken, I might not be sitting here disagreeing with anything that you're saying. But we didn't. We got a subpar fucking performance from, you know, number one, a director who had really no idea about the series. And number two, Ken, the only fucking any dealings he had with the franchise was that he was a fucking extra in Manhattan getting thrown against the wall by Kane.
And he was Canadian, eh?
And not to mention, where was it filmed? So there you go.
Yeah. Kane even says that, you know, eventually it had an open casting call. I know a lot of people went on it. They ended up hiring a Canadian stuntman. So what does that tell you? They wanted someone with more expressive eyes or someone who was cheaper and more convenient. I have a problem with the way Kane says this, because he knew fucking who Ken was. Give me a break. Like, so why is he just going to say they ended up hiring some random Canadian stuntman? Like, he knew who Ken was. He's worked with him before. But Yeah, I think the biggest issue was money, but I wish they would have just come out and said that instead of fucking making up all these bullshit excuses that when you actually watch the film, like none of their excuses like is actually seen in the film.
But Chris, wait a second. Now correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, we know that Ken didn't get the spot, but that's the spot of Jason wasn't originally assigned to Ken Kurtzinger, was it?
No, he auditioned for the role.
Wasn't there someone else that had the role before and then they moved to Canada and there was a visa issue or something like that? Or am I just talking out of my ass?
I've heard something like that, but I can't remember who it was involving. But the big picture, you know, it originally was given to Ken. There was an open casting call. You know, I've heard Ken say that he was actually selected. And I've talked to some of the other people who auditioned to the role. Matter of fact, I spoke with Doug Tate a couple weeks ago, and he had mentioned about the audition and whatnot. And that's ultimately how he got the call to do the final scene right at the end as Jason walks out of the water, was because he had auditioned and, you know, they gave him a call back for that one scene. But he was chosen, from what I understand, he was chosen, you know, out of everybody that they had to pick from. It wasn't something that, you know, they kind of knew, hey, we're going to pick this guy, but we're going to go ahead and make it look like we're going to give everybody a fair shot and have an open casting, but we really know who we're going to pick. I mean, from what I understand, there was no preference prior to the casting.
Yeah. And that's the way this reads to me too. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, again, say what you will about Kane, but at the end of the day, you know, I feel like he deserved to play Jason, considering, you know, all the work that he had put into developing the character in the previous films.
And and what he put into developing Freddy versus Jason. I mean, was it Robert Englund's hand that pulled the mask in and Jason goes to hell at the end?
No, sir. That was Kane Hodder's hand. So he's technically played Freddy and Jason.
Well, but I don't think that Kane necessarily, I mean, people want to give him credit that, you know, like almost like he had something to do with Freddy versus Jason even happening. And that's not true. No matter who would have been portraying Jason Voorhees would have done the same thing that they were directed to do. Kane didn't do anything, you know, outside of what he was directed to make that movie happen, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree 100%. But to me, that was a studio's way of gearing someone towards a certain part.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that the movie was going to happen based on off of that scene alone with Freddy's arm and everything, but you know, it Kane didn't make that happen. He did it because, you know, he's a stunt guy, he's there, you know, he's part of the movie. Hey, we need somebody to do this. I don't think that it was anything beyond that.
Yeah, I have to agree with Nate on that one.
Well, I do agree with him on that completely, as far as that goes. Like the banana girl in part 4, that was Tom Savini who killed her. But it seemed as though in the time period and living in the time period and being excited about this film, it seemed like from the get go that everybody wanted Kane to portray the role. I mean, that his Jason versus Robert Englund's Freddy. And I don't even like Freddy that much in this.
No, I thought Freddy was great, but maybe that's because I feel so poor, you know, so bad about Jason's portrayal.
I mean, if it's not Wes Craven directed part 1 or New Nightmare Freddy,
Well, we'll have to get into all that when we start talking about Nightmare eventually.
2 years from now.
Yeah, but at the rate we're going, probably.
And I agree with Chris, you know, with exactly what you just said. But bottom line is, you know, if it's not Ken that did a discredit or a poor performance, it was the direction of the movie. That's the reason.
100%. Nothing against Ken.
You don't blame Ken. You blame the director, because first of all, you know, he openly admitted that he didn't know anything about the franchise. So problem number one, why do we have a director that doesn't even know anything about the franchise?
Yeah, especially that late in the game. Like, you know, the first hand, like the first, you know, maybe four or five films, you could say, okay, this director didn't know shit about it. Fine. You know, we're still early on in the franchise history, but you're talking about the, what is it? The 11th movie, in the franchise at this point, like that director should have been intimately familiar with Friday and Nightmare.
And as much as they geared up to a Freddy versus Jason, how long did we wait for that?
Like 10 years.
Exactly.
And there's a big difference between a character like Freddy, you know, where he does talk and you've had the same person portraying Freddy for all those films, and then different people portraying Jason over the years in all of those different films and bouncing around different directors. And we obviously know that continuity is often an issue with Friday the 13th films. So, it, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, with Freddy versus Jason, I mean, we had to expect something different. I mean, that's just the way that Friday the 13th rolls.
No, and we did get something different. Like, you know, I said in our Freddy versus Jason episode, like, fucking, I thought it was brilliant the way they got the two together. Like, I couldn't have thought up a better scenario myself as to how they would get those two in the same movie. So in that regard, I got no issue with shit being a little different. I mean, plus you're going to get Jason to walk all the way to fucking, you know, walk all the way to Springwood.
as a Frankenstein, but considering the way that it opened up and how we actually get Jason back, I mean, it's kind of expected that we're going to have a Frankenstein version of Jason, you know. That's the way I look at it too. There's other, when I watch the film, yeah, I kind of look at all aspects of, you know, kind of how, what, and why, you know.
I mean, but come on, like we had already had Jason come back to life officially as a zombie in part six.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute though, because you know where I'm going with this
in a very Frankenstein manner.
And I wasn't even going to bring it up, but since you started the fire, I'm going to pour some gas on it, my friend.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Here's how I view that. What is a big difference in the zombie Jason that you see in part six compared to the rest of the films? The one main thing that is the mannerisms of Jason. Does anybody want to take this one?
Well, the way he comes back to life is with electricity. So I guess, you know, yeah, he had a jolt of fucking energy and shit. Whereas Jason didn't.
the major difference is if we have zombies, you know, zombie Jason, okay, why does Jason look like he just got done running a marathon in Kane's versions? He's huffing and puffing all over the place.
And we talked about this a little bit in the chat the other day. And here's the question that I brought to you. Have you ever fucking seen a zombie in real life? No. Well,
I can't say that I have.
That's a good like, point.
But in part like, six,
you have no idea. You have no idea what an actual zombie would fucking do.
Well, of course. But
not to mention Jason is not your typical, you know, zombie type thing. He is a supernatural being, considered at this point anyway, considering that, you know, he's been dead and brought back to life like a plethora of times at this point.
I'm just saying in part six, when you look at the difference between the character portrayal for a zombie version of Jason, part six, he's not huffing and puffing. And the rest of them, he is, because that's what Kane brought to it. So,
we'll see what happened was, you know, he got that jolt of energy from the lightning bolt. And then the rest of the films, man, he was coming down off that electricity high. So he's fucking tired. He's tired, Nate.
Something like tired, that. Man. Something like that. In every zombie movie I've ever watched, you know, The Walking Dead, you know, all the classic zombie films, everything, I've never seen a zombie breathe like that. That's the only time. And I know that others out there would have to agree.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
So, you know, I mean, hypothetically, maybe that's why they didn't want Kane, because they didn't want Jason huffing and puffing all over the film. So they said, we're not going to cast Kane because we don't like the way he breathes.
It still would have been a better fucking portrayal than what we got. I'm sorry.
And I know that's not a reason. I was just throwing that out there just to be an ass.
that breathing, people expect that in the Jason character, though. I mean, they do. And that's the point at which it becomes kind of authentic. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen a Frankenstein breathe like that? So we couldn't really have that in Freddy versus Jason. If that's,
I have, in fact, in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, sir.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that. I just mean traditionally.
I am talking traditionally, sir.
Regardless, I mean, when you see a Frankenstein type of character, it's the same with the zombies. You don't see them with that exaggerated of a breathing pattern. I mean, Kane brought that to Jason. You know, if people accept it, either you like it or you don't. I'm not going to criticize one way or the other. If you like it, fine. If you don't, I can certainly understand why.
All right, guys, let's get in some listener mail. All right, so this is a comment from our website by Doug Myers, a longtime listener to the show. And he posted this on the Freddy versus Jason episode. He says, "You guys are too kind to this movie. Okay, here's a quick list of the major problems I had with the movie. I thought it had the worst special effects in the entire series. Almost no practical effects, all CGI. How about that? All that blood? It seemed like it was shot out of a fire hose." Now, when I could agree with you on the blood, like, and the effects and the blood. And one of the major glaring fucking issues was when I can't remember the dude's name, but it was Trey's friend at the beginning when Jason cuts his head off, or when Jason cuts his dad's head, and then it just falls off and squirts like this unimaginable amount of blood out the top of the wound. That was kind of over the top, but generally I thought it was fine.
I'm going to agree with that somewhat. I mean, my favorite kill was the first one with the bed where he gets bent in half, where he actually acts like Jason. He moves with a purpose to kill. Otherwise it's just like, oh, you ran into my machete. I don't know if that makes sense.
Trey's kill was the best. Yeah, you're right. And then it all kind of goes downhill from there.
I mean, you got to think we're in a different era, I guess, if you want to call it that. When Freddy versus Jason comes along, you know, we went from the 80s and then, you know, obviously we're several years down the road. So, you know, things change in the FX departments. But I will agree that it was a little over the top in a couple scenes. But it was kind of nice to see a little bit more blood than usual. So I can see it both ways.
His next point was, Ronnie Yu's got awful ideas. Freddy fears fire, so Jason must fear water. I'm not going to go into all the times he said no problem being in the water, but come on, man. I mean, come on, man. So I think we sort of addressed this before, and I think I have a good, or at least a reasonable explanation for Jason's fear of water. The motherfucker supposedly drowned in water. So at least to that extent, he would have to be afraid of it in some capacity. Now you talk about had no problem being in the water. I mean, yeah, he's been in the water, come out of the water to kill, but in those situations, he is in control of the situation. But I think, you know, subconsciously he could still be afraid of the water, in the way that Freddy sort of brought out of, you know, his child self.
That's kind of Jungian, man.
And yeah, in the dream world. So I, you know, whatever else I'll say about Ronnie Yu's god awful ideas in this film, I don't think that that's one of them. And you can go back and listen to me talk about that on our Freddy versus Jason episode. And I think there was one episode early on where we had a listener mail that, you know, kind of presented the same kind of thing. I don't agree with it. I don't agree that that was a bad thing. I thought it was a good look into Jason's subconscious where we had not ventured to before. So I didn't have any problem with that.
So what you're saying is a zombie can dream, but not breathe.
I'm not saying that. Well, it depends on what Nate has to say about this.
You know, this is probably material for another episode, because I'm going to be all day on that one.
What, that he can't dream either?
Oh, I mean, well, I mean, I guess, I don't know if I'd call them controversies, but the debate on, you know, what, just like with the breathing, you know, like, I think it's a little bit too much exaggeration. Others might think it's totally okay, and that's fine. I mean, it's just a matter of personal, you know, opinion on that. So the same with all the other things about the dreaming and all that other stuff. It's just a matter of opinion, I guess. I don't really like the way that they made Jason, you know, the fear of water that they brought in that film. I think that was a little bit too much, because obviously in other films like Part 6, you know, Jason's out in the lake, you know, I mean, towards the end when he walks out into the lake, I mean, obviously he's not afraid of water.
Well, it doesn't, if you're talking consciously, he'll do anything to kill people that's at Crystal Lake, man.
Yeah,
so
I agree with that.
So consciously, you're not going to fucking stop him. He is an unstoppable force.
Well, of course. But when they rain the water down, think about this, though. When they rain the water down on him in the movie, it forms that barrier. You know, like Jason sees the waterfall in front of him, you know, then the scene happens and it's like, okay, I just think it was a little bit much. I don't like
because he's in Freddy's world, man. He's in Freddy's world. He is not in control of that situation. Yeah, he wants to fucking kill Freddy, but he is not. I mean, it's clear to me that he is not the one in control of what's going on in that whole scene.
Right.
And I think that's why it comes out like it does.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that in some aspect, but referring back to all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, I mean, the people that are being, you know, manipulated in Freddy's dreams, it's a little bit different. I mean, they're still aware of what's going on. They're kind of doing, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. At that point in Freddy versus Jason, it makes it kind of seem like, you know, Jason was completely disabled. You know,
well, if you're gonna go that route, if you take Jason as the human Jason, he's already he's already suffering from a mental, you know, some mental issues.
Chris,
there.
That would be a hydrocephalic mongoloid pinhead. Ism.
yes. That, what Eric said. And then you fucking take the fact that he's now a supernatural zombie fucking killer. And that just puts a whole new spin on it. So you can't really compare what Freddy's human subjects would do compared to what hydrocephalic mongoloid pinhead zombie fucking supernatural killer and mash those two together and compare them like they would be comparable at all.
Well, yeah, no, technically, I mean, you can't. And that's the thing. You know, how do you side with it? I just think it was, you know, showing Jason, I don't really like the way it was portrayed. I think it made him look like he was way too vulnerable and just a little over the top.
Well, I mean, I think that was really, that whole scene was really good for character development. I mean, because normally he's portrayed as a stoppable force. The only time you really see him get vulnerable is when his mother is, you know,
I was gonna say with mom.
Involved, like in part two.
And that's where the vulnerability should have stopped. I mean, they made Jason, you know, just basically turn into mush right there over a little trickle of water. It was just too much for that.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. I could see why you would say that. Maybe they should have used his mother in some
way
to achieve that. Yeah.
They should have.
I could definitely see that. Fair enough. Yeah, I will give you that point, sir.
Yes, sir. Good point. Damn good point.
Yeah, that's the easiest way for me to describe it, I guess, is why I have an issue with it. I mean, is just simply for that matter.
Yeah, I got no problems with that.
I like that better.
Yeah, that would have been cooler. I agree. But I still think, given what we see in the movie, like my explanation is at least somewhat reasonable. Point number three, Jason's look, definitely my least favorite in the series. A big jacket, and what's that? A purple sweatshirt underneath. They even have the wrong eye missing. Now, I think them switching up which eye is fucked up has gone back and forth.
I figured out why. I can answer that.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yes, I can, and I figured this out because Jason was left eye dominant, right? He didn't have a right eye in part what? 2, 3, and 4. It was all his screwed up eye. Which side did he get hit on with an axe? His left side. So his deformed eye became his normal eye. And so that's why it switched. At least they kept that continuity.
I had not considered that before. I guess that makes sense. I didn't have any problem with the costume per se until you get up to his fucking head. Like, why? Like, I can't even, like, why is his head almost black? Like, I don't understand. Like,
decay.
But his head is not decayed. Like in this,
no,
it's like it's a normal head and it's black and he doesn't have the axe damage from part four or whatever.
Once again, like, it's them continuity things with the Friday the 13th films. There's just, you know,
as far as the rest of his costume, I have no issue with that. I mean, you know, I mean, these movies, especially in the later ones, you know, the first, you know, you have part two, three and four. That all happens over a weekend. So you expect the continuity between those to be a lot better than they were. But in the later movies, like, you don't know how much time has passed since the last movie. So him, the costume changing up a little bit, is not necessarily an issue for me. I just hate his fucking head. Fuck his head.
Well, that's what you get when you have people working on the film that aren't a fan.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a prime example of what happens.
Yeah, I never understood why his head looked like that. It was kind of weird.
Well, and if we really want to be critical, I mean, what the fuck is going on with the machete? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that machete looks weird. But I mean, you know, people associate Jason with the machete all the time.
I don't know why.
That's not even his main weapon of choice. Like, that may be the one you see most frequently, but that's definitely, like, he doesn't use it, like, exclusively. So, you know, if he picked up a different machete, you know, that's I can explain that away. I have no problem with that.
I just mean the design of the machete. You know, in all the other films, when you see, you know, well, outside of Jason X, but I mean, for the most part, when you see Jason with a machete in the other films, it's like a version that you would walk, you know, through your local hardware store or, you know, wherever it is you would buy one, at, you know, Home Depot, whatever, and you see machetes for sale, and that's what they look like. They used, you know, in some of the older films, they used a vintage Ontario machete in part six. So, you know, that was a thing you could walk right in the store and buy. But in Versus, I mean, what the hell is that thing, you know? I mean,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's damn near like a fucking sword, vaguely in the shape of a machete.
Yeah, something that somebody just fabricated in their garage, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, what the reboot machetes, what, 4 inches longer than the remake or than Versus? And that comes off as
a sword. It looks like a sword.
But it's so badass. I don't know. You know, you guys pay way more attention to stuff like that than I do. I hate the discontinuity between the masks and this film. It's like you see no battle damage. And I mean, again, I just said he could have got a new mask. I mean, you know, he could, you don't know how long it's been between the films, and maybe he got a new fucking mask. But I don't know. I just get tired of all the continuity problems with the mask. I feel like I can explain them, you know, up to a certain point, and then at after that, it's just like I don't fucking know anymore.
Tommy Jarvis keeps leaving them on his grave.
Yep. I guess so.
Bingo.
All right. So the last point Doug has is the teens, possibly the worst group in the series. I couldn't have cared less if any of them lived or died. They were just really unlikable. For me, the one that was the most unlikable was Kelly Rowling's character. And that's mainly because she's a horrible fucking actress. She should have stuck with Singing with Destiny's Child and not been in this film at all.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, again, and, you know, we've said this before, like, you can't go into a movie like this and expect great fucking acting. You're just. So I always tend to overlook like the acting in the movies, like except for Kelly Rowling, she's just terrible. But or even the way the quote unquote teens are portrayed, like that's just something I overlook because I know it's going to be horrible.
I totally disagree with you on that because if nothing else, the slasher genre has bore more superstars than, I mean. Do you get bigger than Johnny Depp?
Oh, well, so fucking what? You got Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th Part 1 and Johnny Depp in Nightmare Part 1. Like, name one after that. I'll wait. Yep.
Well, I mean, you're obviously going to have actors that come through these films that, you know, are going to go on to be a superstar actor or whatever. But there's, you know, so many characters involved. I mean, you can't expect to get top notch, you know, Hollywood actors to fill every single one of these roles that they have. It's just not going to happen.
All right. Those were just a few at the top of my head. Just my opinion, totally subjective. I was very surprised at how much you guys like this one. Great show again. I love when you guys break down the movies. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Doug. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We got another one from Clay Hildebrandt. He said, hello, fellas. Just discovered the podcast yesterday and I'm almost halfway through your catalog and wanted to share a smaller theory I had about the beginning of part two. I believe Alice is alive, and the beginning wasn't just a dream of Jason.
Someone else is on my side.
Hang on. He saw Alice kill his mother, and now she is the cause of all his hatred and malice. What if he does kill some poor rando and just sees the image of Alice? And that's why he continues to kill, because he sees everyone as Alice up until Tommy comes along, and he has somebody new to direct his hate towards. Of course, I'm most definitely full of shit, but it's something to ponder for a second before shitting on. Big love from a Canadian fan. Yes, we have three people that like our show that live in Canada. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
But yeah, like Eric was going to say, the last time that we talked to the last time we talked to Adrian King, you know, that was sort of like an underlying theme of her argument, I think. And, you know, once Eric and Adrian sort of, you know, went, you know, talked about it a bit, I think I came around to that. I came around to the possibility of it. But that's campbloodpodcast.com/45. If you want to hear our conversation with Adrian, where that sort of, ideas discussed more thoroughly. So, yeah, check that one out. And tell us what you think. We got another email from Robert Cantu. Hopefully I'm saying that right. He just says, great show. Finally real talk about the series. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
We try. And for the final listener mail for the night, Adam Carlson, he said, I just wanted to let you know that I'm loving the podcast. I can easily say that Friday was my least favorite franchise in the horror powerhouses between Nightmare, Halloween, and Friday. But through listening to the podcast, I've been able to see them through fresh eyes and get one hell of a kick out of them. So thank you so much for that. I do have a theory about the inconsistencies throughout the films I'd like to share if you have the time. This is kind of round, so please bear with me. I am a huge fan of the Mad Max films, and I feel that the storytelling in these franchises is the same. In the Mad Max films, facts change from film to film, like the Interceptor still being intact or even the gender of his lost child. Fucking spoil alert, dude. I've never seen any of those movies.
No fucking doubt, man. Dude, I had Beyond Thunderdome sitting on my VCR getting ready to go in. Dude,
a mess. I've never seen him, but I don't care.
Me either.
So hey, and no judgment if you like those movies. You're allowed to like what you like.
Yes, you are.
So he says the best explanation I can come up with for this, and the theory I like the best about this, is that each story is told by someone different, so the inconsistencies are their own perceptions put over the story. In the Friday series, it could easily be argued, at least in my opinion, the stories are told by the survivors, not an omniscient narrator. This would mean that what is different in Jason's appearance and the events ignored from past events are the fault of the storyteller. And taking the fact that these stories would then be coming from a traumatized mind, and if you have the makings of a very different version, and you have the makings of very different versions of the look and MO of Jason. You know, That's not a terrible way to look at it. I mean, because a lot of the main inconsistencies, you know, you get a few in the first couple films. There's a few inconsistencies. There's a few inconsistencies in the Tommy Jarvis section, but then the huge inconsistencies start after that. So that, you know, that's not a bad way to look at it, actually. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it. Yeah, I got no problem with that, with thinking about them like that. And I do love to explain inconsistencies away, so that might be my easy out. Thanks, bro. Yep. He says, thanks for your time, guys. Keep up the awesome work. Fuck Jim Elliot and good night.
Yes, fuck Jim Elliot and all others like him.
Fuck Jim Elliot.
Yes, fuck him in his stupid fucking ass.
More painful. It's got to be more painful.
All right. All right. Final thoughts about this controversy about Kane playing Jason and Freddy versus Jason.
Final thoughts on that. Like I said, from what I understand, I think it just boils down to a money situation. And that's unfortunate because Kane does have a lot of fans out there. And I think he would have obviously did a great job with it. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that someone hasn't stepped up and said why, because I think we all deserve an answer, especially Kane. You know, and, you know, Ken, you know, has his, people have his opinions, you know, like you mentioned, you weren't a big fan of Ken's portrayal, but, you know, if we would have had a different director, we would have had a totally different movie and we might have had Kane back. So, you know, all we can do is speculate on the information that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Kane finish off his tenure of the series or even continue on. I mean, but we'll get into that in the reboot, but I think that this would have been a great fare thee well to both the Freddy and Jason characters that Robert Englund and Kane Hodder brought to each one of them. But in the end, it is a Friday movie and I love it nonetheless for what it is. But I love Kane. I mean, he's a great person and I'm sure if I met Ken as many times as I've met Kane, I'd say the same thing about him. But so I'm going to say Kane should have been Jason. That's my final thought.
Well, gentlemen, that concludes tonight's conversation about this. All right. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Where the fuck you listen to the show? If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you have a question or a theory, you can hit us up at the website under the contact tab or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/68. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.